Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Glad to have you along for the next hour. You get into all kinds of things. Breaking news out there, Serena Williams will retire at the end of, or right after the U.S. Open, or however far she makes it in that U.S. Open. So Serena, one of the most decorated women tennis player of all time, she'll be gone. She'll be done. The end of the U.S. Open. KD, the soap opera that is Kevin Durant, spun around again yesterday. And we got to give some props to a guy in that situation that we'll talk about. Toward the end of the show, the college football coaches poll was released. Where's everybody at? Who's too high? Who's too low? Who's unranked that could make some noise? Who maybe, what's a team outside the top five that we think might be able to make a run, or will make a run at the playoff? What's a team outside maybe the top 10 that has the chance to do that same thing as well? Is it just all a matter of one spot being open because the three big dogs are right there? Anything new with Cale Gundy? That's some different things started to get out there yesterday. And the Elk City Fast Pitch Festival started yesterday on the softball field. We'll talk about that, as well as ESPN. Could ESPN be getting kind of nudged out of the way when it comes to where college football network, college football rights, video rights, broadcast rights, where they're headed with one of the big two conferences seemingly having them on the outs? We'll talk about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those, log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app's got it all. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. A brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. We've also got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. Elk City and Hollis get their season started on the football field August 26th. Merritt will join in on September 2nd. You're right. I did say Hollis. Hollis is a new addition to Paragon TV. So
did you look up who they played? I did.
Hinton? No, that's who Merritt opens with, Hinton, on the 2nd. Hollis opens. I looked at it last night specifically so I could say, hey, they played the 20. Wilson. Wilson, I'm so sorry. Is that going to be at the end as the Wilson bus is driving away?
Hopefully
Are the Tigers going to go, We're sorry, Wilson. We're sorry about the beating we put on you, Wilson.
Now, Hollis is 8-man, right?
Hollis is in Class B, District 1.
So it's our first 8-man school, a part of the Paragon Network.
No.
Who?
Merritt was.
That's right, they were.
Merritt was. We just,
when we started, they were.
We
right?
did. Well, you know what?
I don't know.
Not video.
That's what I'm saying.
We did a radio. TV. Yeah, we did the radio broadcast of some 8-man playoff games.
But not TV.
Not TV, yeah. So
this is exciting.
This is exciting for the Paragon. Now,
anxious to watch some 8-man.
Our friends up north.
No, they've had 8-man.
They've had
8-man teams.
Yes. Obviously, Shattuck and Sealing and, well, everybody.
Yeah.
Buffalo and Sharon, Mutual. Yeah, this will be the first foray into 8-man on the Paragon TV.
I'm excited about that. And Hollis is good. They have always put out a solid team. They're back in the OSSAA.
They are. It's predicted to finish fourth in Class B District 1, which would be good enough for a playoff spot.
It's a playoff spot.
And let's be honest, that district has Gosh.
And we complained about our travel last year.
Well, they, no kidding. They're going to have some. I know. I think Balco is their first trip in district. I know they go to Balco. I know they go to Laverne. Shattuck comes down there.
I believe they go to Turpin.
It may be Turpin. Well,
trying to remember from the magazine. But
right.
Yeah.
Well, and not only the travel, but guess what? You got put into a district with like three of the top four teams in the state.
Yeah.
Well, Balco Forgan was ranked number one in that Vibe preseason mag. Laverne, two. I think Dewar was three, and Shattuck was four. No, Sealing was four. Shattuck was like six or seven. Picked to finish third in that district. Yeah. But then Hollis, fourth. That would be good enough for a playoff spot.
So I was sitting down looking at that magazine last night, and I stumbled. You know, you can look at 6A, 5A, 4A, all the way down. Then you get to the independents. Did you look at the independents very much? I remembered that Guymon is going independent. Did you see their schedule?
No.
It is interesting. There's some perks.
I noticed Guymon's name, but I didn't. I figure, what are they playing, a bunch of Kansas schools?
What? Raton, New Mexico. Raton. Who else? Wellington? No, I'm sorry. Wheeler.
Wheeler. Yeah, that makes
Wheeler,
sense.
Wheeler, Texas. They're going to go come all the way to Wheeler. And one stood out to me that's coming to their place. It's an academy out of California.
Really?
Yeah. Late in the year, too, in November. So I'm sure it's like, okay, you come here in November.
Then next year we'll go.
The cold panhandle weather, and then we'll go to sunny California next year because we're independent. But, yeah, and then there's others. You know, I think they play I think I saw like Garden City.
Yeah, I figured there'd be some of those.
I mean, it makes sense. I get it. They're the travel, the expenses, their win loss record. I mean, you thought we had it bad? They've won maybe. Well, they show the schedule.
The last eight.
8 years, is it? I think it's only been 6 wins. They're currently on an 0-something streak for the past 3 seasons.
Are they though? Are they 0-27?
It's rough.
Seems like there might have been somebody else that was.
I wish them the best. I hope they can get some wins with this schedule as independent. You know, Hollis did it. They went independent for a little bit. They're back in the OSSAA, and I think they're back in the right foot.
They did it for a lot different reasons.
Right, but let's see what happens with Guymon here. I think Guymon, I'm speculating, pure speculation, but, you know, costs a lot of money to drive to the city every week and play the Guthries and the McGinnises and
yeah, and that's the problem for them is they got too big, and so they, you know, it's one thing to have to drive to Clinton, Weatherford, Elk City, Woodward. But they got so the school's so big that they outgrew that class, and from there, you know, Woodward went with them every now, you know, sometimes they'd be there, sometimes they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's another hour and a half or 2 hours from here to there, you know, the trips they were having to take. So, and you know, this is just the truth. If they were good, this wouldn't happen.
I know. Then that's another reason why I think is to you can handpick your schedule and try to build up
a program.
Try to
get built back.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
As opposed to only able to control 3 games of your schedule, you can control 10 of them.
That's right. And with cost, and like you said, and get some wins under your belt. Schedule somebody that. There's a reason why they were on our schedule.
Of course.
Coming off of 0-20.
And I'll tell you,
that good feeling.
When
about
we went up there, I was.
Dude, that video board is incredible.
The venue there, they've played there forever. It's really cool venue. It's a total different country than what we're used to. And that video board. Like you said, what they said is the second biggest in high school?
Yeah, behind only Bixby.
Yeah. So there's a commitment there, is what I'm saying, to that program for the Guymon Tigers. So this is a right move for them. But check out their schedule when you get a chance. It's really interesting. Because I was kind of looking, well, where's that? And obviously the travel is way less, but then the California school stood out to me. And I thought, okay, well, I guess that's a perk of being independent.
Absolutely.
You could pick a game and make it your quote-unquote bowl trip. You know what I mean?
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. So the Guymon Tigers. Yeah, independent. Along with, what's it called, Western Heights? Or did they just drop all the way.
I don't even know that they have a football program.
I never noticed them. I that's one reason why I did look at those independents in the back of that magazine, was to kind of see where they're at, and I didn't notice them. So maybe they're just shut her down.
I think it's non-existent right now.
What is existent was the Elk City Fast Pitch Festival yesterday. We were there for a couple of the games with the Elkettes. Elk City 2-0, off to a nice start. This is a team that is senior-laden. They lost one player. Now, listen, it was a big loss, and Danny Satilli off of last year's team. There's no doubt about that. Danny was fantastic at the plate. She was kind of forced into – not forced, but just with the situation she was pitching, where, I mean, she could have played shortstop just as easy in the infield or what have you. So Danny is the only starter off of last year's regional tournament team that isn't there. It seems like a lot of competition for some different spots with so many coming back, but then some young ones that are coming up through the program. We saw Aubrey Pogue, the freshman, pitch both games, did fine, only giving up one run and what ended up being, what, eight innings worth of work, three in the first game, five in the second game. Control was a little bit of an issue to start against Chickasha yesterday, but she got that ironed out after walking three in the first three innings. Settled in, didn't do that anymore, and ended up retiring, what, I think nine of the last ten in the third, fourth, and fifth innings. Bats finally came alive there. Give credit to Allison Couch. She was the pitcher for Chickasha that came in the first inning with the bases loaded, one out in a 1-1 game. Haley Bowie got a hit that knocked in the second run, and then she struck out two Elkettes with the bases loaded and one out to get out of that, to wiggle off the hook there by only giving up two runs in the first. And then she was great from there until that fifth inning. She shut Elk City down. I think she ended up striking out like seven or eight. But the Elkettes got the bats alive there in the fifth. Madison Holiday with a nice bunt down the third baseline to get things started on the leadoff. Birdie Satilli Ella smoked one of the outfield, got caught. And then next thing you know, it seemed like everybody was, hitting became contagious all of a sudden. Breonna Butler had a two-run double. So did Aubrey Pogue. And the Elkettes beat Chickasha 6-1. So 2-0 with the 12-0 whitewashing of Texoma. 6-1 over Chickasha. And I found out, I was pretty sure this was certain, but I went out 100% sure. I checked with the powers that be. This team is poised to make a run. And, oh, by the way, if they were able to make it to the state tournament, it would be the first ever fast-pitch state tournament for the Elk City softball program.
Well, let's not talk about it. I don't want to jinx it.
No, we need to get it out there.
Okay.
We need to get it
out
there. I
don't want to put the pressure on them.
Well, they know it. Listen, I should just ask one of the girls.
It's like a no-hitter. You don't talk about it.
It's just two games. But here's the deal. This is a year where the Elkettes are poised to be a very, very good team, especially coming off last year. Mm-hmm. So they were fantastic. Elsewhere in the festival, Canute went 1-1. The Trojanettes, where did they go? They beat Texoma 3-0. Lost to Visai 14-2. Arnett split. Beat Clinton 15-4. Lost to Weatherford 3-0. Weatherford. Let me scroll down just a little bit. Visai won twice, by the way, as they beat Canute 14-2. Beat Mangum 6-1. Mangum lost that one. But then, and they lost to Weatherford 9-1. So Weatherford won twice. Mangum lost twice. Merritt already playing district games. Hmm. They beat Walters twice, 11-1 and 11-3. But back to the festival. Shattuck, they beat Fargo Gage but lost to Chickasha. Yeah, 12-0 against Fargo Gage. Lost 6-2 to Chickasha. Is that everybody? Minko? Minko was there. How did Minko do? They won twice. Beat Hammond 6-3. Beat Lakiba. Hammond, I'm sorry, 4-3, beat Lakiba 6-0. Lakiba split. They beat Clinton 3-2, lost that Miko game. And then, so that means, who did I just say?
How'd Hammond do?
Hammond, that's who I was looking
for. We know one of them.
They split, lost to Miko 6-3. Well, that says 6-3. Then shut out Fargo Gage 11-0. Things get going again today at, what, 11:30?
Yeah, same schedule.
All the way to 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock are the last times today. Elk City will take on Visai. The JV plays right before that at 2:30. So go on out. Enjoy the Elk City Fast Pitch Festival. It was a lot of fun. And by the way, thank you to the clouds.
Oh, my goodness.
The literal clouds in the sky.
Yes.
You know, we were out there at 11:30 yesterday morning.
Yeah.
A nice breeze to cool you off in the morning before it got too hot. And then at 5:30 last night when you're afraid we're going to be out there roasting. No. The clouds were in the sky, kept the sun at bay. The breeze left us. It didn't feel like there was hardly any last night. But
it wasn't.
You know, the temperature, Jay kept on saying, you know, 98, 99 was the temperature. Didn't feel like it.
No.
It felt more like the mid-80s.
You get in the shade, and it's fine, and the clouds helped. Now, you know, you're on that turf. It's a lot hotter, but those girls are used to that. Yeah, I was just wondering if that rain was going to come in. It just kind of bubbled up all the way around Elk City.
It's never.
It never came in. But the clouds were still there. You know, that was the thing.
Oh, man.
The clouds were still there. So it was not a rain out. It was perfect weather. Perfect weather.
It really was for this time
of year for a festival like that.
Yeah, and hopefully today they'll get it in before, because I know there's chances of storms coming in this evening or mm-hmm. this afternoon. Mm-hmm. So maybe they get everything in, and then as soon as the last out is made, boom, the heavens open up and it rains.
We'll see.
Preferably at 120 Killian Lane, if nowhere else, because my yard needs it.
My yard needs mowed, but spots of my yard need it. I hope it rains here, but not in Canoe, because we got practice tonight.
Oh, Jared, don't you dare say that. You will take the rain any way you can get it.
A lot of local farmers may be mad at me when I just said that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Monty Tucker just rolled over in his tractor. Or spilt his coffee down his shirt.
My apologies. Don't blame me if it doesn't rain. You know, here's the deal. It's that time of year where you mentioned the softball. We got this festival covered, but I know there's a lot of other softball happening out there. Baseball, small school fall baseball has started. We can't get it all.
Oh, man.
Text us.
That's right.
Text and tell us your score, 580-225-9698. We love that.
I did see that a name that we hear all the time during basketball got it done on the softball field yesterday, one Katie Edelin. Walk-off hit for Rappo Butler to beat Bingeroni.
Oh, that is a big win. That's a big win.
6-5.
Wow.
Yeah, so Katie knocked in the winning run there. Yeah, I mean, isn't Bingeroni like always the state champion? Number one every time?
Yeah. They got that Johnny Bench magic over in the softball program.
Let's see if we, you know, I've been a little bit disappointed with the OSSA rankings site lately, but now it's up. It's working.
Okay. Well,
maybe they just took the summer off.
Maybe they just did
that's fine.
A rehaul, reset it all. I don't know.
Do we have rankings for fast pitch?
I don't know if we do. No. I don't know if it's too early.
Yep, none.
I doubt we have anything like that.
None. But anyhow.
I will say this, just because, you know, I'm plugged in. Taylor Varnell's his first win as a head coach over at Canute. That's a good win at Navajo, 4-1.
I saw that on the Facebooks, his wife congratulating him.
And then they go to a tough tournament at Dale. So, we'll see what happens there. But we got a lot of softball today.
We do. Bunch of softball out here at the Fiveplex. Go check it out.
We'll have the Elk City Varsity covered. Their 4 o'clock game on Big Elk TV.
You're gonna get taken to the woodshed if you keep talking about it not raining from the text line.
I'm going to delete that part in the podcast.
Yeah. It's going to sound really weird when we go from, there's chances of rain to
I'm just going to edit it and go, I can't wait for it to rain.
Yeah.
And moving on.
It's kind of like Major League, the movie.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch it in real time, you know, Wild Thing goes wild the night before with one of his teammates' wives.
Oh, yeah.
And Roger Dorn. Corbin Burnson finds out. So he walks out to the mound. And in the real movie, he says, strike this.
Yeah.
Out. And when they dub it in, like on TBS, it's like, strike this guy out. I mean, zero care in the world for trying to make it sound like Corbin Burnson. Strike this guy out.
Yeah,
Wilson. Where is Wilson, by the way?
It is west of, I believe, Ardmore.
Like, okay, Duncan Ardmore area. That's where I was going to guess. Somewhere in that region.
They just pretty much have to drive straight east.
Straight on highway. What is that? 51.
Don't ask me that. 50? I don't know.
Not 51. I've driven that highway.
I don't know.
From Ardmore to Frederick.
I think it's actually at Hollis.
Yeah, I believe Hollis.
So Wilson's got to come to Hollis.
That's why they're going to be yelling at the bus. Sorry, Wilson.
Oh, I thought you meant they're going to be yelling from the bus. Okay. No.
At the bus.
Yeah.
You know, as Wilson's floating away.
Right.
I'm so sorry, Wilson.
I'm telling you, if I'm from the town Wilson, I'm embracing that. I'm having volleyballs all in the stands with Wilson on it. I'm embracing that just for fun. I wonder if they have a volleyball team. That'd be cool to play with one.
Highway 70. Is it 70?
I have to Google that one up.
It is. I've been through Wilson.
Look at you.
Turns out I've been there.
Okay. You've been there.
I have.
You know the highway it's on. What is Wilson's mascot?
Boy, golly. We went through every single. We did. I kid you not. We went through every single team on the way home the other day, and I'm not as good at this as I was hoping I would be, but I am going to guess the Hornets.
You're going to guess Hornets. Okay, let me effort it here. Wilson, it looks like they are. Think about the mascots that if you don't know it, what it likely
Bulldogs
is.
Or Eagles.
It's an eagle.
It was amazing how many times I could get that backwards when I didn't know. Wilson City Hall, it's right here. I got a picture of it. Pulled up. Yeah.
Wilson Eagles.
The Wilson Eagles and the Hollis Tigers. Just, gosh, 17 days away.
It is around the corner.
17. 9 and 17 is 26.
And speaking of Bulldogs, that's who's coming to town. Against
Altus.
Oak City. Altus coming to town.
Ooh, Altus has had a rough go of it.
You know, I'm
since the last time Elk City and Altus played.
Right. It's like they were really good when Elk City played them, and Elk City wasn't so good. And then it's like they changed. Elk City got really good, and then an incredible drop-off for Altus. So I'm anxious to see.
They got a new coach.
Yeah.
You know, they were kind of running, I think, the same stuff as what we're going to see out of the Elks offensively.
I formation.
Well, or Air Force.
Veer.
Type stuff, with the double wings, the fly sweeps and that kind of stuff.
It's been an Altus tradition.
Well, that's what we're going to see here, from what I've been told. That could be the fastest game of the year.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. We've been a part of those. Both teams just want to run it. We've been a part of those.
Yeah.
And then we get to the fourth quarter, and suddenly we got a lot of flags and cramps, and it slows everything down.
Start drinking your water now, kids. Hey, there's an inter-squad scrimmage on Saturday at 10, the Brown and White. Then the next week on Friday, come on out, El Reno in town on the 19th, middle school at 5, high school to follow, 6:15-ish. And then, of course, the real deal against Altus on the 26th. Man, we'll get into this. I mean, we got a couple weeks, but I'm going to start looking through that magazine and finding the toughest non-district schedules that I can find.
Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Elk City, Clinton will be up there.
Oh, man. Yeah. But listen, I like the philosophy. You're not going to get better by beating the doors off of a team that's gone 0-20 the last 2 years.
Might have a couple teams on some couple game losing streaks middle of September or into September right here at Big Elk Stadium, two teams that are pretty darn good.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is no one's going to say that, oh, they've lost, they're 1-2 or whatever, and no one's going to bat an eye and say, oh, they're just not good this year. Right? Well, look who they played, right? So... But I like it. I like it when teams do that. I mean, of course, seeing it right here in Elk City, you don't get better by playing down. Play up. Play the Carl Alberts. Play the Canadian Texas teams. Traditionally playing for titles year in, year out. That's where Elk City wants to be. Almost got there last year. I think they're on track to continue to knock on that door. So play those teams. It's worth it. Totally worth it towards the end of the year.
It's going to be fun.
Yep.
Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. It's the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. We'll tell you more about it when we come back. On the other side, the coaches poll has been released. We'll tell you where everybody's at. Who's high, who's low, and who got a first place vote.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Hey, Elk City Schools Project Aware are sponsoring a workshop tonight, August the 9th, 6 to 7:30 at the Pioneer Center. Dr. Marcia Tate will be there. The title is Preparing Children for Success in School and Life, 20 Ways to Increase Your Child's Brain Power. Admission is free, child care be provided, and the first 50 attendees will receive Dr. Tate's book for free. 6 to 7:30, Pioneer Center, Dr. Marcia Tate, Preparing Children for Success in School and Life, 20 Ways to Increase Your Child's Brain Power, brought to you by Elk City Schools and Project Aware. This show is brought to you today by Paul Jones Drug. Our man Rodney Skinner down there at Paul Jones Drug. I told you they're the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. We've got free local delivery, drive-through pickup, the curbside test you, vaccinate you. Long-term care unit packaging, they call those blister packs. We'll tell you more about them. Go visit 809 North Main here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Okay, Jared, it's that time of the year where we have the first coaches poll, coaches and SID poll in college football. Alabama, the overwhelming number one choice. They got 54 of the 66 first-place votes. Ohio State was ranked number two with five of those. Georgia, number three, with six. Clemson, Notre Dame round out the top five. Michigan's number six, Texas A&M seven, Utah number eight, the Sooners nine, Baylor Bears 10, OSU 11, Oregon 12. Go down to Tebow's team is 15, Texas number 18, and oh, by the way, the other first place vote in the poll went to Texas. No other Big 12 teams are in the poll. The SEC had the high with six in the top 25. Let's see. One, two, three. Only three Big Tens? Is that right?
Believe so.
Yeah. Huh. ACC had one.
Sorry, I was a little shocked about the one three, first four, place vote five. From Texas. I was a little...
Five for the ACC. Big 12 had four. Actually, maybe six. Did I miss Wake Forest? One, two, three, four, five. Six if you count Notre Dame. I'm not going to. Anyway, what are your thoughts about where some of the teams are ranked?
Well, it was the top three and then everyone else. Some people were saying to me, Clemson at four, come on. A&M at seven, come on. I'm like, listen. Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia are the three top dogs. And I don't think a lot of, I guess, coaches and SIDs in this case really knew what to do after that. So, and I've put Clemson as one of my teams that I think could have a bounce back year. I've said that way back. So, I'm okay with it. But it's those top three. And I know you mentioned that. It feels like it's those three, and then that fourth spot is anybody's as far as playoffs are concerned. Still baffled by the one first place vote for Texas.
I'd love to know who did it. I haven't seen it yet.
I know. There's about 14 teams above them that could.
Speaking of Clemson,
argue for a first place vote. Speaking of Clemson.
Okay, so 10-3 felt like a disaster last year, right?
For kinda them, like for OU, 11-2 felt like a disaster.
Just a disaster.
Yeah.
At 10-3.
Well, outside the playoff, didn't win the ACC. Yeah.
Didn't even play in the ACC championship game. Didn't even win their own division.
I mean, they're kind of mirror image of what OU did last year. Yeah.
Yeah, except for they lost some of these, and they won some close games too, especially early. 14-8 against Georgia Tech, 19-13 against Boston College, 17-14 against Syracuse. not great. But think back to that very first game mm-hmm. against the soon-to-be national champs. They get beat 10-3, and the only touchdown in that game is off of a pick six. Now, what happens if that game turns the other way?
Right.
They lose in double overtime at NC State, and then they lost to Pitt on the road 27-17. After that, they reeled off 6 straight wins, including beating Iowa State in the Cheez-Its Bowl. They also hammered, at the time, number 10 Wake Forest, 48-27. But when you look through the one thing about just kind of looking through the results last year, what would you guess, if you're not looking at it, what would you guess the best day yardage-wise DJ Uiagalelei had for pass yards? The best game he had all year. How many?
Or what game? Are you asking me what game?
Just how many yards? What is the most amount of yardage he threw for in any game all year long?
I'll keep it under 200, say about 150.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Can't be under 200.
Well, I feel like it's a trick question. Like
it was low.
The best. Okay, what is it?
7, 8, 9. 9 of the 13 were under 200.
So I was a pretty
241.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like a half around here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and let's not get
it
twisted.
That was a trick question. Like, they won those many games with him. His best throwing performance was for 175.
So what in the world happened? Because the only time we saw him before last year, he was in a loss, mind you, but he was lighting up Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Lighting them up to the tune of 439 yards. What in the world happened?
Sometimes you get a guy in there that no one's, I don't want to say not ready for. This is a D1 schools. They prepare for anything. But you get that wrinkle, that extra wrinkle from a guy like him. No one really has really seen him outside of recruiting tapes or maybe some practice film.
Well, he played the week before Notre Dame
right,
against Boston College and threw for 342.
Yeah.
He threw in those two games for 781 yards.
But
you know how many times, you know how many games it took him to get to 781 yards a year ago?
Two? Three?
No.
How many?
Probably at least, let's see, four, five or six. Without doing the entire Gazintas, that's 350. That's 480. We'll give him 480 there. We'll give him 590. We'll give him 790. One, two, three, four, five games.
Yeah.
And one of those was a double overtime.
You give your opponent more. I mean, the sample size gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Am I making sense here?
Yeah.
Kind of like think about Caleb Williams. More and more and more study was put on him. You had teams like Baylor and OSU, even Kansas to a lesser extent, figuring it out. He's a true freshman.
That deal was figured out in 2017.
Oh, well, that's true.
It was figured out.
It wasn't so much the quarterback.
It was figured out. Nobody, but people just wouldn't learn it. Iowa State showed you how to stop it in 2017 on Owen Field. Against the Baker Mayfield offense.
That's right.
They showed you how to do it.
That's true.
And it just – everybody's stubborn, too stubborn to figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, there's a offensive line. We're not as tied into that. But just – it feels like you're at Clemson at number four isn't a surprise because, a horrible season for them was 10-3. A horrible season. And they were 10-3. Still played really good defense. They did lose both coordinators. Now, at the top, you know what is happening this year.
I think that, just before we move on from Clemson, I think that is why people question the four, because of all the coordinators moving on. Yes, Dabo's still there. DJ's still there. I lean on them having a bounce back year because the recruiting was still there. So I don't see them dropping off. But I get the questions because you're bringing in new coordinators. Will it gel like it did in the past that were in the, it won them titles? So I can see the question and then the pause about having Clemson at four. But because of how bad, I say bad, it felt for Clemson last year. Got to remember they were 10-3 with a bowl win against a solid team, mind you. And now I think they're like, okay, last year we didn't like. Now it's time to move up. I can see them having a bounce back year. That's why.
Yeah, okay. I definitely could too. All right, of the top three, something is happening this year that's only happened three times in Nick Saban's tenure. And oh, by the way, the previous two led to national championships. Do you know what that thing is?
Returning quarterback?
Not quarterback.
Returning Heisman winner?
Returning both coordinators.
Oh! I should have known that. I just talked about it with Clemson. Okay.
Each time that's happened, this will be number three. Alabama's won the title.
And last year was a rebuilding year for Alabama. Don't forget.
They played. Yeah, they were horrible. They were inches away from winning the national championship. I think it's good luck beating them. Everyone else, Oklahoma 9, Baylor 10, OSU 11. Do you like that order for the three Big 12 teams?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Because it shows me that all three, those are the three top teams. And it's kind of like, well, where do we put them? And it's actually, because we'll, a little peek into my football preview, it's actually the order I haven't finished in the conference. So
Oklahoma has a huge, huge, huge advantage over those teams.
That being?
The schedule.
Yeah, the schedule.
OU gets Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State on Owen Field.
Right.
And then they don't have to go to Austin. Of course, they never have to go to Austin. And, you know, that game is that game. But the Sooners' schedule is such a huge advantage over everybody else in the – over the other contenders in the Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Oklahoma State, do they have to go to all three of those places?
They host Baylor. I believe.
No,
they go there.
They're at Baylor.
No, they host Texas.
They host Texas.
That's where I got them.
They're at Baylor, at K-State, at OU, host Texas. Okay? Let's see about Baylor. We know they're at Oklahoma. We know they're at home against OSU. They host K-State and go to Texas. So K-State has to go to Baylor, has to go to Norman, has to go to and has to go, just those two. They host OSU and Texas back-to-back weeks. So the Sooners are the only ones that get three of the top four at home and the other one's a neutral site field at the Cotton Bowl. That's a huge advantage for OU when it comes to the possibility of where these teams finish in the Big 12. I think it's one of those three. You can put them in a hat, mix them up, and you can make an argument for everybody. Everybody's got some question marks. And we'll see which one of those gets answered. To Texas at number 18. I don't have a problem with them being number 18. Whatever. They're always going to – that name is a lot of times going to put them in. You know, I think it's interesting how excited everybody is about Arch Manning when you could make the argument that the guy they have this year is just as highly recruited, if not sought after, as he was. He just doesn't have that last name. Quinn Ewers is the guy that they've been looking for, they think. It's also what, you know, it seems like a long time ago, right? But Garrett Gilbert was the same type of guy coming out of high school. The unquestioned player of the year. The guy. And then, you know, that didn't turn out. We'll see what Ewers does. But, you could make a case for Texas easily if things go right. Now, they got a block and they got a tackle. That's the Big 12. Who's too high in your mind in this poll?
A&M. I mean, there they are at number 7. Feels like we know that the recruiting haul that they've had, but that doesn't really kick in until maybe next year, as soon as next year. I just don't see it them as a top 10 team. It just seems like every year we do this with A&M, kind of like their brothers down the road in Texas. We hype them up and then they let us down. I think A&M's a little too high. How about you?
For some reason, it feels like Michigan is too high.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And here's the deal. I'm going to say, too, it's going to be Michigan, and it's going to be one of those Big 12 teams. I'm just not sure which. But it's going to be one of those three. OU, OSU, or Baylor is going to be way too high.
Well, if I'm going to use this excuse for Notre Dame being too high because they have a first-year head coach, and they're there at number five. I mean, the same could be said about OU at number nine.
Listen, you could see Oklahoma going 9-3 or 8-4 very, very easily. They should have done. I mean, hell, it should have happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about all those close games that the Sooners were able to win, and all of a sudden you get done and it's 11-2. It doesn't look that bad, but during it, that was not an 11-2 team. Well, we'll see what.
But on the other side, one of the point, those, you mentioned their schedule that you could see them winning 10-plus games.
The Nebraska game, I think, is the difference between 10 or 11 and 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. If you can't go up there and win that one, then you're going to drop some other ones. And so that could be where they're too high. And the other Big 12, one of those Big 12 teams isn't going to be as good as what people think because of the loss. Who's unranked? Who's down here in the unranked that you think can end up not in the playoff, but maybe, you know, top 15, top 10 type team?
I think it's fool's gold to say someone like LSU or Auburn or Tennessee because, yes, they're in the SEC. If they can get on a roll, sure. I mean, that's easily, you could put them in the top 15, but it's the SEC, and they're not ranked for a reason. I mentioned the new coach at LSU. Auburn's had its struggles. Tennessee, I'm actually kind of surprised they're not around the 25 mark when in Heupel's second year. And Florida, throw them in there as well. I don't know, man. Maybe Iowa, maybe Penn State, maybe right there just on the cusp. Iowa's always been that solid team, and they just rack off some wins, and there they are.
The schedule is really hard, but they've got like 19 dudes back starting. BYU.
Yeah.
Their schedule
circle
is...
Circle that BYU-Baylor game.
Man, listen, they host Baylor. Then they go to Oregon. On the 8th of October, they go to Notre Dame. The week after that, Arkansas comes to town in Provo. They go to the Smurf Turf. They go to Stanford. But they got a lot of dudes back, a lot of them. Kalani Sitake and the boys. Watch out for BYU. All right, we talked about the big three with Georgia, with Alabama, with Ohio State. If I set an over-under at 2.5, would you go over or under with those teams making the playoff?
With those three?
With those three. That means at 2.5, that means either all of them make it or one of them doesn't.
Then I'd go over.
So you're going all of them making it.
Mm-hmm. I'm giving too much away in my preview.
I think that's probably conventional wisdom. The one thing I would say about that is this. That means two SEC. So then that means Notre Dame isn't as good. You know, another Big Ten team isn't as good. Clemson, Pac-12, Big 12. That's the only reason why I would say under is just because if you say over, you have to have two from the same conference.
You're thinking
somebody
Alabama,
else.
Georgia.
No, I'm thinking Alabama.
Cannibalizes themselves.
Yeah, somebody.
That's what I'm saying.
And then somebody else plays real. You know, right. Notre Dame is there. And then at that point, if Notre Dame is there, then all you have to have is somebody else from the ACC, from the Big 12, or even another Big 10 team.
We haven't even mentioned USC at 15. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's so hard to tell about them because it's complete. They were 4-8 last year. 3-9, whatever it was. They're terrible.
Yeah, four wins.
But they're a totally different team. They're completely different. They're with different players, with different coach.
So it's kind of hard to know
it's
where
really,
to put them.
I think it is, until you start seeing it happen.
Yeah.
Who outside the top five would you give the best chance at making the playoff?
Because when we mentioned USC and I'll lean Pac-12, I think maybe Utah if they – I mean, listen, Riley went to USC because of the easier schedule. Utah, they had a dang near chance to knock off Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. They look like they'd belong there. I think they can use that as motivation, and make a run at this thing through a light Pac-12 schedule. Let me look at it.
I've got it right here.
Help me with it.
They go to Arizona State, to UCLA, and to Oregon.
UCLA, Oregon will be tough. That's on the road.
USC is at home. They open at Florida, so we're going to know.
Oh, yeah, we'll know off the bat.
At Florida. And then watch out, San Diego, even though that's at home, even though that is at Salt Lake. San Diego State's another team that's outside of the Power Five that could make some waves.
If they can navigate this schedule, which is very capable, they're very capable of doing that. I mean, they could be one of those teams that we're talking about late in November.
Yeah, I like that one. I really do. After watching them against Ohio State, you know, it's not the same team or what have you, but
it's still rising.
They always play good defense too. That's the thing, it does feel like they're more loaded at offense than they are some other years. Those tight ends were awesome. Tavion Thomas, the running back, is still there. So look out. I like your pick of Utah. What about outside the top 10?
Now we're getting to muddy water. Outside the top 10, I'll go with Miami. Same reasoning because of the schedule with the ACC. Let me bring that up. They do have to go to A&M. That'd be key for them. They get past A&M, they're going to be easily 3-0. They'll be 4-0. Host North Carolina, winnable. At Virginia Tech, catching them when they're down, winnable. Duke, winnable. At Virginia, winnable. Florida State, winnable. And then second to last game of the year at Clemson. So give me Miami.
Okay, I'm gonna read off this SEC schedule, and you tell me how in the world it could be easier.
SEC schedule?
This SEC schedule, I'm going to read it off, and you tell me how it could be easier.
Okay.
Florida, Mississippi, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Georgia.
How it could be easier?
Yes.
Well,
I don't think it can. Because
I mean, not have Georgia.
Well,
on
too
there,
bad
but.
you're in the East, so you don't have a choice. But all you right. get Georgia at home.
I know where you're going.
Kentucky.
You love those Wildcats.
Listen, Will Levis at quarterback.
You're just sucking up to Coach Hunt.
No, I'm not. He doesn't even like Kentucky football. But if you're talking about, I mean, you're taking a shot in the dark of anybody outside the top 10.
Yeah.
Will Levis is quarterback. Isn't it interesting that two of the teams that we have picked in this both go to Florida?
Yeah.
Utah week one, the Wildcats week two.
Yeah.
So maybe if Florida wins both of those games, we got to start talking about the Gators.
Yeah. I mean, they're not in the top 25, but they got votes.
Give me Kentucky.
Okay.
As a team. I think another – and Dakota just said he likes Utah. Another team that I think would be kind of a chic pick here is NC State.
Yeah.
I know they have to go to Clemson.
Well, they're not scared of Clemson.
Because they beat them last year at home. To Clemson, to UNC, to
they've
Louisville.
They've always given Clemson a game.
They really kind of have,
They've been tough on Clemson.
Look out, week one.
NC
East
State.
Carolina. At East Carolina. Look out.
Yep. Yeah, that's a trap game to start. 11 a.m. game at East Carolina.
Should I paint my face blue every week? Until Kentucky's.
Well, you won't be painting it too long then.
Look out, Lexington. End of November, the dogs come to town. Will anybody care?
That's true.
We'll find out. We'll be back. Wrap it up here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner down there at Paul Jones Drug Care. You can trust right here in the Elk City area. They've got convenience packaging. Instead of having the big plastic pill thing that you got to fill up daily, they just fill it. They just give it to you. They package it individually every day for you. Just rip open the package, take the meds, throw the trash away, and boom, you've got it. Durable medical equipment. That's walkers and canes and crutches and wraps and such. But it's not just medical. We've got all kinds of cool gifts and greeting cards. Most insurances are accepted. It's Paul Jones Drug Care. You can trust at 809 North Main Street here in Elk City, or give them a call at 225-2121. You brought up an interesting team during the break, and this may be the candidate for a team that's way better than what their record is going to indicate. Tell us who that is, Jared.
Oh, Arkansas. They were really solid last year, and I always look at teams who were good last year and on the cusp, and can they excel? Can they take the next step? So that's when I first thought about Arkansas. They were, what, at 23.
9-4 a year ago with losses to Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, and Auburn.
So solid losses.
Yeah.
Now, but then you look at their schedule, and it is brutal. They host Cincinnati. They host South Carolina. Those are 50-50 games in my book. Missouri State, at A&M, host Alabama, at Mississippi State, at BYU. Remember that BYU team you talked about? At Auburn, hosting Liberty, hosting LSU, hosting Ole Miss in the season at Mizzou. So during a break, I'm like, okay, where are the wins? And we're looking for the wins. Well, you can get Missouri State, definitely a win. Liberty, definitely a win. Mizzou, definitely a win.
Yeah, I'm going to stop at two.
Yeah, I know. It's at Missouri. So.
And it's the last game. Who knows?
Last game of the year.
Who knows what their health is?
Yeah. Who knows how desperate Missouri is to end their season with a win? So, yeah, 2.5. It is rough if you're Arkansas. And you're right. It doesn't – they could be outside looking in when it comes to a bowl game. Be the best team not to make a bowl.
But they could also
win.
Boy,
some of those
Saturday, games. October 1st could be a huge day in Fayetteville if they could somehow reel off those first four.
Yeah. Well, if they go to an A&M and win.
Well, it's at Jerry World.
It's at Jerry World. That's right. Here it says at. That can't be right.
Yeah, it's at Jerry World.
So, cool. Arkansas, they might, first looking at it, first glance, I thought, whoa, they're way too low. They might be right where they need to be. It's like, okay, listen, we're going to put you right here. Rack off those first four wins. And I guarantee for that Alabama game, they might be vaulted up there pretty high.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's because, I mean, I'm going to guess A&M's out of conference is Charmin Soft. Now they got Miami.
Yeah, I mentioned that. They do have a Miami.
The week before Arkansas.
They host them.
Well, that could be a pretty big game down there in Jerry World.
Yeah.
Those teams got Sam Houston, App State, Miami for Texas A&M. That could be a big one. Very, very big one.
Yeah. Very big. Yeah.
That's why it's always hard to pick somebody besides Alabama, and quite honestly, LSU's done it. So, but somebody else in the SEC West to make a run at, say, the playoff. Because their schedule is going to be brutal. You just know it is. Get ready, OU fan. It's what you got to look forward to. But every year, it's going to be brutal. We have not picked our Final Four yet. I have not decided. I'm waiting on one key piece of intel.
Intel?
That is the Bible. I'm waiting on the college football Bible to get here. It's supposed to be sometime this week. I want to thumb through that.
I got it filled out.
Dive deep. You do?
I got my top four.
Would you like to reveal your Final Four?
We need to reserve an entire show for a college football preview.
We will.
By the way, I have the NFL ready to go, too.
Well, look at you,
overachiever. All the way through the playoffs.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean all the way through the playoffs?
Well, I got my division
champs.
You've
got like a playoff
bracket?
I got my wild
cards. I got my bracket. I got it filled out. I got my Super Bowl participants. I got my Super Bowl winner. It was a slow day one day last week.
Good grief. You need more to do around this joint. I got some stuff for you. You want to come up and learn traffic system?
No.
I'll teach you that.
The less I know, the better.
We did not get to the...
Serena Williams.
No.
Darn.
We didn't get to that.
Didn't get to tennis.
Media deals. We didn't get to media deals. We got to talk about that tomorrow. As it looks like the ESPN is in big trouble with the Big Ten. What does that mean for the Big 12, the Pac-12? We'll talk about it tomorrow. Thank you, Paul Jones Drug, for a Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.